Thanks, Molly. Why don't you keep your Bibles open to Romans chapter 4. Now, last week we began a short series on the whole idea of faith. And last week we spoke about what is faith? What is the essence of faith? Now, this morning I want to chat in the next few minutes about the power that faith has. Now, power is something that I think many of us like. We want to have power over other people, to control other people, to make them think the way that we do. Many in our society today want power, and will do anything for power. Some people get elected onto certain boards just so they can have the title of being on a particular board, although they never do any work. They want the idea of power. One wonders if those terrible attacks in Paris on Friday night are not partially the result of somebody trying to assert power over the people in France. But as Christians, power is something that actually all of us have. Power is something that we don't have to look for. We have it already. The Bible speaks about and tells us that faith has immense power. You remember that a quote that Jesus said, you can have the faith the size of a mustard seed, yet you can move mountains. Can you see the type of power that faith has? Now, last week we learned that faith is not just some airy-fairy idea, as if we believe in anything even though it's unbelievable. No, we learned that faith is based on fact, that faith is based on true understanding. You'll remember chapter 4 and verse 21, which we looked at last week, where we read that being fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised, Abraham understood that what God had said he would do. And that's where Abraham's faith was based, not on just some random thought that he perhaps had. So faith is based on faithfulness of the person providing the faith. But faith also has power. And this morning, I really want to chat about two elements, although we'll chat about it under three headings, just to confuse you all. But Jesus tells us, or in fact, Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 4, that there is immense power in faith. The first, I want to just chat about the content of faith as we have a look at Romans chapter 4. And verse 25. Just look with me if you've got your Bibles open, and hopefully you have. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. He, that is of course, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now remember that faith is, the essence of what faith is based on the fact that we have a faithful God, a God who is both willing and able to do what he promised. So what has our faithful God promised? Well, God promised in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament we see these promises being fulfilled through Jesus, that God would provide us with a Messiah who would be given up for our sins and be raised to set us free. Now let's just pause there for a moment before we get into understanding how this power is portrayed in faith. But just to explain some of these words. Of course, I think many of us know what the word sin is. But let me just re-explain, because sometimes we have a wrong understanding of sin. Many of us just think of sin as disobeying rules. And yes, that is sin. So when we steal somebody's pen, when we break the speed limit, that is all sin because we are breaking rules. But sin is actually way bigger than just breaking a set of rules. Because if that's all sin was, then I could live a perfect life if I obeyed every rule. Because sin is actually us rebelling against God. It's not about us keeping a set of rules, it's about us breaking or rebelling against God. Remember, God gave Adam and Eve one rule, one command, one instruction that they were to do, and that was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to disobey that one command, and so rebelled against God. It was the idea that they did not trust God. That they did not understand who God was. And they failed to keep God's standards. They failed to keep God's rule. So sin is anything that we do that throws God out. The moment we think we can do something in our own strength, we have thrown God out instead of calling on God. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Of course, the trouble is that we always compare ourselves with other people. Have you ever done that? When we are looking for money, we always compare ourselves with those who have more money. We never look to those who have less money than we do. How many of us have compared ourselves to the poorest of the poor when we complain about how much money we have? No, we compare ourselves with the richest of the rich and say, I've got nothing. And in the same way, we compare ourselves to other people saying, well, you know, I'm not a murderer. I might have thought bad thoughts about somebody, but I haven't actually killed someone. I'm better than them. But have we ever compared ourselves to God? We've had bad thoughts about someone. God says if you think bad thoughts of hatred against somebody, it's as if you have committed murder. We never compare ourselves to God, do we? And so we always think we are better than what we actually are. And in doing this, as we compare ourselves to God, we realize that we are in fact filthy sinners. But notice the surprising thing in these verses that Paul is talking about. He says, yes, we are all sinners. We are all filthy in God's eyes. But look what Jesus promised us. That Jesus would be, or look what God promised us, that Jesus would be delivered over to death for our sins. Instead of us being punished for our sin, Jesus was. Can you see that part of our faith is to trust in the death of Jesus? If we don't trust that Jesus died on the cross for us, if we cannot accept that, then we have no faith. Because Jesus died in our place. He took the punishment that I deserve upon himself. He saved me from my sin, just like he saved all of you who trust in him. But here's the interesting part, that not only did Jesus die for our sin, but he was raised to life for our justification. Justification is another big Bible word that we use, and rightly so. It's a word that's been borrowed from the courts of law and simply means that we have been declared right. It means that Jesus was delivered up to death, was raised to life, so that we could be set free and be one with the Lord, and be with the Lord. You see, not only is our punishment taken away from us, but all record of our guilt has been removed. Our faith is wrapped up in this fact that God is so faithful that even though he promised that his son would die in our place, he was both willing and able to do it. Can you see how power is related to faith? We have this amazing power that God raised Jesus to life, and in so doing has given us life. So what is the consequence then of faith We've seen the content of faith. What is the consequence of faith? My second comment this morning. God has faithfully done what he promised. And so, there are natural consequences to that. I suppose we've already had a look at a few of those as we looked at the content of faith. For God has promised that through his Son's death and resurrection, we would be declared innocent. But there are other consequences as well. If this is what God has done, then the first big consequence is that we accept what he has done. If we are going to die because of our sin, because we have rejected God, which the Bible tells us we are, the only escape from that is to trust in God himself, the provider of our faith. If we refuse to trust in God, if we say, well, Jesus' death is all well and good, but how can that save me? Then we are missing the most important consequence of believing in God, our salvation. Do you see what power faith has? Faith can turn us from filthy sinners into living beings who can live with God. That is an amazing, powerful thing, isn't it? You see, it's not about how much faith I have, how much I believe something to be happening. You might have seen these things on Facebook, you know, type amen and God will bless you. Is that faith? No, that's just superstition. That's just being silly. As if typing amen on a Facebook page will bless me. It's about having faith in God. Faith in what Jesus has done that will bless me, not typing amen to a thing on Facebook. You see, it's not about trusting in the impossible. It's about trusting in what has been promised that has come true, that has set us free. And that gives us an amazing life, an amazing power that we have. If you're dead, is there anything that you can do for yourself? There's nothing, is there? You're dead. If we are dead in sin, is there anything that we can do to rescue ourselves from sin? No, because we are dead in our sin. The only way that we cannot be dead in our sin is by reaching out to God, by trusting in what God has said and done for us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we've just finished Ephesians. If you've missed those talks, they are on our website. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Do you see what Paul is saying? We don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We cannot earn our salvation. Being saved from our sin, being justified is a gift. And we need to accept that. We need to trust that. And as we do, we receive the power of the faith that raises us to life. So we've seen what faith is all about. We've seen the consequences of faith that lead us to trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. But let's have a look then, thirdly, at the power of faith. Can you see that faith has nothing to do with what we do or don't do, or even how much faith we have or don't have? We are delivered from our punishment. We are set free because we believe in the one God who promised, who did, and has delivered. No wonder Paul tells us that Abraham was declared righteous with God even before the Ten Commandments were issued. You can look at this.
right back in Genesis, Abraham was declared righteous. When were the Ten Commandments given to the people of God? Only under Moses in Exodus. Hundreds of years later, yet Abraham was declared righteous. How? Why? Well, because he trusted God who'd promised, and he lived according to that promise. Verse 22 of Romans 4 tells us that it was credited to Abraham as righteousness, his faith, his belief in God. Abraham was shown to be righteous in God's eyes, not because he did something, but because he trusted God. He trusted in the promises of God. That is why even those who were saved in the Old Testament were seen as righteous before God. Not because they would live better lives than anybody else, but because they trusted the promise that God would send a Messiah to die for their sin. And so too, friends, with us. The power of faith is that when we believe in God Himself, in that what He said He will do, in that He says He will save us, and He has sent Jesus into the world to fulfill that, then we are declared righteous by God. But not just are we saved, we are also receive many blessings. Paul tells us in chapter 5 of Romans, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified, that is, declared innocent, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, which we looked at just recently. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. He says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, when we choose to believe in God, when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord God and in what His Son has done, the power of the faith is one, that it forgives us and it saves us, and two, that we receive all the spiritual blessings we could ever want. Paul continues in Ephesians 1, verse 4, he says, for He chose us to be holy and blameless, to be adopted as His sons through the redemption of His blood and the forgiveness of our sins. That He's lavished on us, verse 8, all wisdom and understanding, and He's made known to us the mystery of His will. Verse 11, that He has chosen us, having predestined according to the plan. In verse 13, that having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Do you see what faith does? We have an amazing wealth of blessings with us through the power of faith. Bryson Smith, in his book on faith, says, faith is the way we accept God's offer of justification. Faith also means, is also the means by which we receive the Holy Spirit and are ushered into freedom and confidence, knowing we are God's children. Faith is the only way we receive God's offer to put things right between us and Him. So people say, how can you believe in a God who isn't even in this world, who we can't see, who you guys claim lived 2,000 years ago on earth and is now being killed? Well, the reason that we can believe is because we trust that God, when He says something, it will take place, it will happen. And so, God said Jesus is the way to salvation. We trust Him at that, and we are saved through the power of God Himself. And as we trust in Jesus and his death on the cross, we receive all the blessings that we could ever need in this life through the power of the Spirit. So to sum up, faith is based on a faithful God who will do what he promised, and contains the fact that we are saved by God's act in sending his Son Jesus to die and to rise, which means that we should accept what he has done. I need to ask this one question. Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the gift of salvation that he gives us? It comes with amazing power, the amazing ability that we are able to stand before God, that we who are dying are now made alive. See, I'm not asking you here, do you attend church or read your Bible or have had a minister in your family line? I'm asking if you, as an individual, have put your trust in Jesus, in the faithful God who says and is able to do what he says. Friends, it's not about the quantity of faith that we have, but whether we trust in what the faithful God has told us. Now, I can't make that choice for you. I can't say, all right, all of you can now believe. You need to trust for yourself. Just like you need to decide, as we said last week, as you sit down on that chair, whether you can trust that chair. I can demonstrate that that chair could hold your weight, but until you actually sit on it, you have not trusted the chair. And in the same way, I can show you the way to salvation, the way of faith. But unless you accept that for yourself, you are not in the faithful that God calls to himself. Of course, if you have accepted what the Lord has done for you, if you do trust him, if you do have faith, then remember all those blessings that we have. Thank God for the power of faith that I, who was dead, am now alive. That I, who had nothing, is now being given every spiritual blessing in Christ. And live up to that as you live your life for him. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this passage in showing us, Lord, the power that we have with you, because we believe and trust in you. Lord, help us to live up to what you have done for us. Lord, as you save us, as you rescue us, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to live for you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.